In your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Paul is writing to the church. This is his third letter to the church at Corinth. And in this letter, he says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul had a fear that their minds would be swayed from the simplicity that's in Jesus. Jesus was a simple preacher. He preached to fishermen, streetwalkers, thieves, tax collectors, demon-possessed people, crippled people, blind people. Jesus preached to the everyday man. And he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and the learned. The wise men of the Lord's day, the learned men in the law, did not grasp what Jesus was trying to tell them. They did not understand the way he spoke, even though he spoke gracious words, words with authority, and words of authority. In fact, never a man spake like this man. He spoke in simple terms. His words were difficult to wrestle out of context. They were plain, straightforward, to the point. I looked up that word simple, and it means unmixed, pure, unadulterated, straightforward, fundamental. And then I looked up the word simplicity. You know, that's what Paul was afraid, that the people of Corinth would be turned from the simplicity that is in Christ. And the definition that I found says uncomplicated, a state of being simple, clarity. Is that not what we want in the gospel? We want an uncomplicated gospel. We want it preached with clarity and through storytelling and parables. Jesus made God's truth understandable to the common person. He talked in a way that did not require sophisticated theological scholarship to decipher the meanings behind his words. The Sermon on the Mount, for example, is beautiful in its simplicity. But on one occasion, Jesus makes it even more simpler. He had just been peppered by the Sadducees with questions on the law. And now the Pharisees wanted their shot at him to see if they could trip him up. Hearing that Jesus had silenced those Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of their experts in the law tested him with a question and says, Good master, which of the law is the greatest? And Jesus responded, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Love God love your neighbor. That's it. That's the Bible for dummies. That's the message God wanted the people to hear. How much more simpler this must have been to the common folk who were being manipulated by the complexity coming from their teachers and leaders. Listen to what Jesus said about those teachers. He said, "Woe unto you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut down heaven in the face of these men. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you allow those to enter who are trying to." Those two commandments are from the Old Testament. The first, to love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, means that we must love God with our whole being. Obedience to God must first flow out of our love for Him. Our Lord condemned those Pharisees and their legalism, which was devoid of any love and mercy or justice. And then Jesus said, the second is like unto it. In other words, loving our neighbor as ourself is like loving God with all of our being. If we truly love God, he was saying, we will express it by loving our neighbor. And when we truly love our neighbor, it expresses our love for God. The two loves are interconnected and intertwined. Both of these commandments involve expressing love to God and to our neighbor. Love is preeminent, and all the laws and the prophets hang on these two statements. Paul echoed this theme in a most beautiful way in 1 Corinthians when he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am becoming as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have faith to move this mountain, and though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I am nothing. Love has preeminence in the kingdom of God. It's the only religion in the world today that its motivating force is love.